Literally nothing we've said could be used as a cold open.
To be fair, I've said, I have said nothing wrong here.
Like, like, there's just going to be heavy beeping.
The only part you can use is when Lace goes, are you recording?
It's just, that's what it should just be, a constant amount of beeps. Like, are you recording? And that's it.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Let's Get Gaming Podcast, episode 73. That's right, we're your number one stop for all video game news, reviews, and sometimes interviews. I'm your host, Patrick Dennehy. Joined with me this week, it's Chris Montpetit.
It's been 1 week since you've listened to me.
Nice.
There we go, yeah. Oh, damn. All right, no pressure. But the two of you need to follow up with that intro at or above that level, okay? So I'm going to, Pasquale, I'll give you some time. Also with me,
Stefano.
No, you can't talk. You haven't been formally introduced yet. Also with me this week, Stefano Fontana.
Chick of the China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking.
All right, a little controversial, little spicy there,
the
but
lights on the nose. On for Stefano.
Yeah. And of course. And of course, Pasquale Galuzzo.
We got the beat.
Now we have to include that.
We have to. Yeah, he's retconned the whole cold open, really. And now we're mentioning the cold open on the show, which I'm pretty sure is not allowed. Yeah.
We do it every time.
Yeah, the show.
That's fair. Boys, how have you been this past week?
It's been an adventure, that's all for right. Sure.
I had a thought, and I want to get all of your opinions on this, right? There's some wild news that we're going to get into over the course of this episode. But what I noticed is that we are a strangely Canadian podcast, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All four of us grew up in the Great White North. And I realized, listening to some of our old podcasts, that we say things that are very local Canadianisms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like 50% of what we say.
Yeah, pretty much. So what I wanted to do, without telling any of you about this, is I have a list of Canadian slang words in front of me. And We're going to have a little educational / competitive opening to the show, where I'm going to read out some of these Canadian slang words. And I want to know, and to educate our audience so that we could speak freely as we normally do, don't you know, bud?
Hey there, bud.
But also, I want to see how many of these you guys know.
All right, let's hear it, bud.
All right, let's get fucking started there, bud.
Oh, bud.
We're gonna start things off a little bit easy here. I want you guys to tell me what it is that is a double-double.
Oh, that's easy. A double-double is two cream, two sugar from Tim Hortons.
That's right. Chris, you are in the lead with 1 point. All right.
Is it a race?
I said it was a competition.
Oh, okay.
Competition. Yeah. I'm going to win.
Fun fact, there. I'm stupid and thought a double-double was two milk, two sugar for the longest time. And only like a year ago did I find out there was
so you've been cream. Ordering double doubles thinking you've been drinking milk this whole time?
100%.
How did you not know that it tastes so much like cream?
I don't know.
Drink cream constantly?
No, I don't drink cream constantly. That's why I didn't know.
Apparently you do.
I was going to say, you either drink not a lot of cream or a lot of milk. And I don't know which one is worse in this situation.
The cream. I don't even
drink coffee and I knew it was cream.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to round two of the Canadian slang words. All right. I genuinely, out of everything here, I think Chris is the only one that's going to get any of them.
Okay.
All right, boys. What is a tippy canoe?
A tippy canoe?
Tippy canoe. It's very popular, very common Canadianism.
I'm a child of immigrants. This one's going to be hard for me.
a tippy canoe. I'm surprised none of you know. It's a phrase.
I was going to say, I thought this was a mixed drink, but man, I might be wrong.
No.
Isn't it a phrase like a tippy canoe and a how do you do or some shit like that? Isn't it like something like that?
It's you are closer, but a tippy canoe is a Canadian slang word that could refer to literally anything.
Fucking Canadians.
It's a catch-all for anything. You could say, "Oh, I was down at the tippy canoe," and then people would just surmise based on how much they know you. Yeah. All right. Okay. Next one. This one I was surprised was a Canadianism. Chesterfield.
That's a couch.
It's a couch.
Yeah, it's a couch. Yeah.
It's a couch. Yes, correct.
It's a couch.
Chris was sorry, hold on. Whoa, hold on. Let's back up. Chris was the fastest one on the couch there, so he gets that one.
I was fastest one on the couch there.
Steph was fastest on mine.
They might sound the same, but that was
Steph. Are you faster on the couch? Is that how
I'm faster on the couch.
I'm a quick draw on the couch, baby.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll give that one to you.
He needs the arms for balance and power. Mm.
That's right. Yeah. It's good for my motion in the ocean. You know what I'm saying?
Get the good nugget couch going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fucking throwback to our
that's a vintage reference right there.
There you go. Good job.
All right. How about this one? Yeah. Biffed.
Biffed? Oh, you fucked
that's
up.
One, like, yeah.
That's right. Biffed means to fuck up. Congratulations. Yeah. All right, dude. One to one.
Yep.
Nice.
I got one more. This will, right. The winner will take all here.
Okay.
Your final Canadian-ism is, what does it mean to fill your boots?
To fill your boots?
Is it to get money?
No. Does not mean to get money.
Fill your boots to...
You're like full of shit.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
To get your fill of something?
You know what? I think out of everyone, you are the closest. Fill your boots is Canadian slang, the equivalent of encouraging someone, similar to saying go for it, help yourself, or enjoy yourself.
Oh, like get
interesting.
Like...
But I will say that
you said Canadian slang. I think you meant Newfoundland slang.
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like a very like maritime.
Okay, well, I could have hit you with a Jesus Murphy. You know?
Oh, I know that one. Jesus Murphy. Just like saying Jesus Christ.
Yeah, god damn it. You know, typical one. You know, jam busters. You guys got jam busters?
A jam buster.
Yeah,
I know. I've heard this one.
Stefano's probably done this on the couch. Listen, it's a jelly
you got
donut.
Around you.
Can
just
he,
a donut.
I was going to say, can he do it with no hands?
That's,
or...
that's just a jelly-filled donut then, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys know just that blood's a lubricant?
Stop.
Blood's a coagulant, actually. You could.
I don't think you've ever actually said something that made me stop. that was in 72 plus a couple of special episodes, the first time you've said something on this show where I'm like, do we need to start over?
We play a game of Nomia with my family, and one of the people we play with is a nurse, and she was feeling a little bit when we were playing, and she was drinking. And the game is like you flip over cards and they have matching symbols and you have to name the category on the card, and the category was lubricant. And so she went with blood.
Oh. Why was that her go-to?
She's Anything a nurse in fairness.
Better. But her being a nurse doesn't like
I'm starting to learn a little bit about your family.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Do you listen,
like,
man.
Like a blood kink?
If you were to go up to someone in the street, can you name for me a lubricant? Oh yeah, human blood.
Oil.
Oil.
I'm gonna call the police right now. That's what I'm gonna
Pus
do.
From a pimple. How about that? Yeah.
That's the worst thing you've ever said to me. We do have to start over after that one. That was the worst thing that's ever said on this podcast.
Honestly. Let's just throw the whole podcast out at this point.
Garbage.
Oh, I never thought you would say you would make what I just said worse, but you did. You made it worse.
I thought of one. I was sitting here for like a good minute. And I was like, should I say it?
Because at least mine didn't have to be murderous. It could have been taken in many different ways, but that other one was just too far.
Squally, you know, the next time you get like a thought like that, where it's like, should I say it? Just go with the no.
Better yet, just stick to the script that we provide you at the start of every show.
Did you have that thought when you thought of Looney Tunes? Because I wish you did.
No.
You know, I didn't really, as always, I try to start the show with a nice little lighthearted, fun activity for the four of us to bond over. Four, if you count Pasquale. And then, you know, somehow it comes to using blood for lubricant.
Hey, use what you got, you know what I mean?
Welcome to Let's Get Gaming Podcast. What have you guys been playing this week before we get into the news? I have a nice little anecdote about war crimes when we get to mine, so that's another thing we get to look forward to.
We're so far off the rails at this point already, I don't even know. I was playing Dead by Daylight, and oh my god, why do I do this every time? Dying Light 2.
You'll get it one day.
One day I'll get it right the first time.
One day you'll get the right game.
Dying by Daylight, yeah, good game.
Dying by Daylight, Creed, Odyssey.
And I've been, yeah, and I've just started Deathloop this morning, because it just came to Game Pass, so.
Right. Yes, while we were waiting for you to join this call, you were playing Deathloop for like a good couple hours there, so it must be a pretty gripping game.
You were waiting for 5 minutes, you piece of work. it's okay though so far. The premise is interesting. It's Groundhog's Day with guns. So
how roguelike is this game?
So. And I'm only like on the first level where you can carry stuff over. So you have core memories to unlock. Once you unlock those memories, you can move on to the next area.
Right.
You can either go exit and go back and take your treasure with you, and then start the next zone again, or you can keep going, and like push your luck. But if you die, you lose all your loot.
Risk it for the biscuit.
So get a little risk reward type thing going on there.
But you keep your memories.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
For that game. So that's the kind of the whole thing, the whole idea. It's kind of like 12 minutes where like you have to play the game to get new memories.
Right. So you learn what it is to actually do so that you could successfully clear areas.
Exactly. So
the whole goal is to
light
complete it within the night.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Are you enjoying it? Do you recommend it?
That's too early, I'd say, to make that call. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
the voice acting's fun. The actors are really great. The gameplay is—I mean, I knew the gameplay would be fun. It's an arcane game, and moving around in arcane games is always great. Like their control and their pacing is great. I'm not sure how I feel about like. Sometimes I get like decision paralysis in games that require me to like that leave it super open, and this game is kind of like that. All of arcane games are like that, so. I'm curious to see how long I sit on it. The only one arcane game I've ever beaten so far is Dishonored 1.
What do you mean by decision paralysis?
Like you can approach situations any way you want. So I'm like, that open stuff. Choice. Yeah. Well, yeah, but then I get like, is there a bad way to go about it?
If you get caught.
Yeah, it's only bad if you get caught.
So in Dishonored, that was a bad way, because if you killed too many people, then you like kind of fucked your ending. But in this game, that doesn't really seem to matter. It's just about getting to the end. So like, however you do that,
nice.
The more people you kill, the harder it is, because they'll notice you. Yeah. So that's kind of like the whole thing, right? But yeah, you have to find tokens and trinkets that can be carried on to your last game, as long as you get to the exit after you get your loot. It's kind of like Dark Zones in Division as well.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
fun. No. It's nice to see that game coming to Game Pass, right? Because it was a big deal when it first came out, and Sony kind of latched onto it, and now it's free for the most part, which is always it's great to see for the people that spend $70 on it. Pasquale, what have you been playing?
Relax, John Garvin.
I'm still playing Death Stranding. I didn't get to play too much this week, but I think. The game is divided into thirds, I want to say, Eastern, Central, and Western America. So I think I'm at the end of Central America. So I should be moving on to the next section soon, I think.
Mm.
So yeah.
Okay.
Probably about two thirds.
From what I understand about that game is that other people playing it shape the way you cross the world.
Yeah, because like you can, for example, if I have a ladder, I could place it down to cross a river. And then if I leave it there, then the next person. Whoever's game, I guess it spawns in. I don't know how exactly it works, but if it appears in their game, then they can just cross easily without having to like use their own gear. Or if like somebody built a bridge or left a car there or whatever, you can just use all their shit. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's such a cool concept, and like I don't think we've really seen much like that,
unless it's like you're journey kind of like Minecraft Dark Souls.
Or something, right? Like,
yeah.
But I like how it's like you could like affect the gameplay of the next person around. And you could either make life easier or harder for them, just unintentionally also, right? Like,
Because you're not picking up everything again. Like, I don't think it lets you, because it's just like you just dismantle everything that you put down if you're trying to pick it up. So it's just like, might as well just leave it there.
Yeah, I just think it's such a cool concept. And it's, I don't know, I'd love to see that explored like a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, I do need to play Death Stranding. It's like next on my list.
That first hour though is rough.
It's like, online as well.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
I hear it's like a long game and it's like a little rough to get into, but once you get into it, you're good to go.
Yeah, it was rough and I was considering stopping it, but I keep playing. It keeps hooking me somehow. I don't know how the hell happens.
Oh yeah, it's on your trophy list now, so you got to finish it.
Ah shit, it must be a hard trophy list.
It must be that naked Norman Reedus generated butt.
Oh yeah, every time he gets in that shower.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot of games feature prominent male ass, huh?
Ghost of Tsushima is the best one.
Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. It's like every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Jin's ass is. That's Japan's ass, right?
Oh, it's well, very well rendered.
It's yeah. Mm.
It's just Chris, a complete independent thought, you know?
I know, I wish I was playing.
Jin's ass.
Yeah.
like a film.
Whoa. I've been playing... I've been playing Digimon Survive. I'm just about to finish the true ending. I'm on chapter 10 or 11 right now, I believe.
Nice.
That's my most hated sentence in all video games. The true ending. Just fucking give me the ending when I beat the game.
Well, you get a ending for beating the game.
If you're making choices, like...
Yeah. And don't make one ending true. Make them all true.
Stop being a little baby. You're the one who gets decision paralysis.
I just play good games. I want to make sure Bandai makes more bad games for me.
Why are you being objectively offensive right now? You know
you're right. I am being mean. That was not nice. That was not nice.
I'm the one who's cutting back on caffeine right now, and somehow you're the one actively being hostile towards our fellow co-hosts.
That was unkind. I'm sorry, Chris. You're enjoying Digimon Survive.
You're enjoying that shitty game. I am enjoying my shitty game. Actually, one of the things I was actually really excited to talk about was the fact that. A character that I didn't like on my first playthrough is now my favorite character.
Oh my god, dude, right?
How'd that happen?
so the true ending.
We could talk about spoilers for Digimon Survive, I think, at this point, right? For the true ending, anyway.
Anyone who was going to play it
has probably played it.
Yeah. You guys might not have played it, but like, I'll try and keep it like as spoiler-free as I can, I guess.
Or just say like spoilers and just stop listening.
Sure. there's a character that in the first playthrough dies. So,
regardless of your choices.
So the first time you play this game, it's locked in. He's a goner.
Okay.
On the second playthrough, you're able to save that character, and he becomes my favorite character after that point because after you save this character, the whole game changes because he's like the linchpin to holding everything together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like how at the end of Mario, at the end of Ghosts and Goblins, like you didn't kill the devil. This is all a thing. You gotta do it again. Like, it's kind of like that. Or like you beat the game, but playing it again actually unlocks new information. Like, it's not just the same thing again.
Like in a way, there's a lot of stuff that's still the same. Until you get to a certain point, and then it's a whole new
it's drastically story. Different.
Yeah,
like, but it's like the basic endings are like, let's just get out of here. The true ending is like, you're trekking around the world because like shit's going down that you had no idea about.
Yeah, it's almost like you missed a big piece because a character was not in this section to influence another character to do something. And
that's interesting, actually.
And then one of the other characters, like, who I hate less, but like I still don't like
yeah.
him.
Yeah, he was still an asshole, but like he was likable.
Yeah. In the second playthrough,
I have those opinions as well. Yeah, because I really didn't like the character the first time around, just because I feel like he falls apart, and you're like, okay, he's just a little bitch.
Little bitch baby.
And then like that thing that happens still kind of happens, but he snaps out of it and like actually gets his shit together, and you're like, this guy's pretty cool.
And then when it gets to chapter 6, he goes up and he's like basically just slaps like that character in the face, and he's like, dude, man the fuck up.
Because all of good problems are solved.
It literally solves every problem in the game.
Yeah, so. Because that's the pivotal moment in the game where, like, everything goes downhill.
Yeah.
Regardless of what ending you're working towards, that's the thing that everyone's like, okay, hold on, back up. But, yeah. Like, him being alive and being able to stop that from happening by just beating the shit out of the dude is, like, it changes history. And it's, like, it's so well done.
It's very so, well done.
My question then is, does he survive by default once you play New Game Plus or whatever? Like, is that, like, just what happens?
No, you have to raise the affinity up high enough to keep him alive.
But is the only way to do that is to play again? Like, I don't understand how
playing... So when you play this game, you have a certain, like, three choices. Or three or four choices, depending on the situation, of responding to something in the story. And so you have like a 33% chance, basically, to answer the correct thing to raise up your friendship or affinity with that character. If you raise up your affinity enough throughout the game, the characters, are able to strengthen the bonds with their partner Digimon, and then can evolve into like the mega or ultimate levels. So by having a tighter bond with each character, means that, like, there's better rewards in battle. Like, you might get like better heals, you might get better bonuses and stuff like that in the actual battling stuff, but you need the affinity to make sure that your character, like, for the second playthrough, you need to make sure that you have high affinity so that he survives into the next phase.
But could you get him to survive in one playthrough?
When you start a new game, everything resets to zero. So in my first playthrough, I had his affinity as high as possible up to the point of, like, the scripted death. He still died.
Yes. You cannot then, like, save him in the first playthrough.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it is inherently different.
It is impossible to save him in the first playthrough, no matter what
you do. At the end of your first playthrough, you get a little text prompt up that says something along the lines of, like,
if this character didn't die, maybe all
things would have been different. Yeah.
So it kind of tells you, like, hey, like,
it kind of hints towards, it's like, hey, maybe you should try not to have him do that. You know, yeah, just do it again a little
bit. That's super. You know what? I take that back. That's not cool. That's fucking annoying.
Okay, you know what? Well, all right. Well,
because why not just put that in the game? I don't understand.
It is in the game.
They made it possible, but it's extremely difficult to get him to max affinity.
Also, we need to keep in mind that it is, like, it's a visual novel, right? Like, it's meant to be played a few times anyway, so Stefano, maybe if you want to pump the hate brakes a little bit,
I'm glad you like it.
I do know for a fact that we are getting another Digimon story game.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So your wish came true. You're getting a new game.
So if Bandai would just, you know, listen to what we want, maybe it'll be good.
Dating sim,
Monster Rancher, but with Digimon.
Give us Doki Doki Digimon Academy, please.
That's right.
I will pay a lot of money for JPEGs.
Now, who are you playing in the dating sim? Are you playing the Digimon?
You're playing a human dating Digimon. Yeah.
If they're following normal trends, it'd probably be the ugly bastard trope. Anyway, I've been playing Splatoon 3.
Nice.
Dude, okay, so the first official Splatfest is coming up tomorrow. So tomorrow I'll be splooning in the name of my team.
I hate that.
I've been playing a lot of Splatoon 3. I've been enjoying it. I've been playing Turf Wars. I've been playing the tabletop card game that's built into it, Salmon Run. I've been doing the story. It's a lot of fun. Anyway,
there's a tabletop card game.
they added in a collectible card game. There's a collectible card game in this game,
dude. But you can play it too.
That you could, of course you could play it.
I don't think that Witcher did that within Splatoon.
Right now, it's like only against CPUs, but they are adding like a live against other players component like soon. It's so like right now, dude, right now, build up your decks, get them upgraded, you know, get those, get that pro MLG strategy locked in, because eventually you're going to be splooning against real people. But so here's, I have the first official Splatfest of Splatoon 3 is starting soon. So I want to have a little trip down memory lane to the dewy years of 2017, where Splatoon 2 caused a controversy by starting a race war.
How?
Do tell.
Okay. Now, there's a couple.
Is this Squid Kids versus Octolings or whatever?
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things you need to know about Splatoon lore, right? In the lore, a Splatfest is used to decide objectively which one is better. And whatever side wins, that canonically becomes the better thing in universe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there are two playable characters in Splatoon. There's the Inklings, which are squid kids, and then there's the Octolings, which are octopus kids.
Mm-hmm.
For the first game, it was like Inklings are the good guys, Octolings are the bad guys. But like, of course, there's a lot of lore there, you know, because like during the Great Turf War, the Octarians lost and they had to fall down into the underwater domes and they had to stay down there away from society. But the power is starting to fail and they're all dying one by one. So they stole the Great Zapfish, you know, basic stuff, right? Okay. But the issue is that they had a Splatfest about squids versus octopus. And mm-hmm. the internet caught on very quickly, being like, this is a race war, right? Like, this is what this is, right? Because the winner will be canonically deemed the superior race at the end of this, at the end of this Splatfest.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it went nuts. Mm-hmm. Some people were so put off by the implications of this that they were boycotting Splatoon.
Oh, no.
A lot of people were making jokes and memes, of course. The Splatoon subreddit had to ban the phrase race war because it was a lot of people were like, hey, you know, it's a Splatfest. It's all fun and good. You know, don't take them seriously. But which was hard to do because you had the Splatoon purist stating Article 3, Section 2 of the Splatfest law states that the winner would be legally better than the loser. One way or another, one race is going to be declared better. So ultimately, you know, the Splatfest, it came and went. If you're wondering, the squids did win. So, you know, Inklings are by canon superior to Octolings.
So 6 is better than 8.
Yeah, so 6 is better than 8. Mm-hmm. And there we go. So that was just a fun time where there was a race war that Nintendo propagated. To this day, if you were to Google Splatoon Baby's First Race War, you could learn a lot more about this. So it was just a fun time back then.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I look forward to the next race war that Nintendo instigates and really profits off of, if you think about.
Yeah, it's free advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stefano, how you feel about race wars?
I think we all know how Pasquale feels about race wars.
What?
All right, let's get into the news. Boom, stinger. All right, we're going to start the news with a little bit of an interesting story, in my opinion, and I think this is probably one of the best things I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, have you heard of a little game called Wizards 101?
Yeah, I have.
This is a game that I played in high school,
yep.
And apparently is still kicking.
Somehow.
It's been going on for like 17 years at this point. This game has been going nonstop. It's ridiculous. Yep. Well, about 1 week ago, players received a bunch of server messages popping up one after another containing mm-hmm. profanity and bizarre messages. As it turns out, and I don't know if we figure this out one way or another, it's either a very frustrated employee or a hacker gaining access to the server messages and bombarding, I'm assuming, I don't know, teenagers with mm-hmm. really profanity-laced messages.
Very weird ones.
This dude is either a genius or just is having a massive mental breakdown. I have a couple of his server messages here. And remember, these are server-wide messages, so everybody logged in playing this game during the time, which apparently is a lot of people that still play this game, receive these messages.
Yes.
Some examples. I fucking hate my job.
Yeah.
King's Isle is the worst company I've ever worked for.
Mm-hmm.
Email support at wizard101.com so I could get a raise.
Yeah.
The next world is my boss's asshole.
That's the best one.
I like this one just for its simplicity. This game is shit.
Yeah.
And then he did a little bit of trolling, which I really respect. He put out a message saying, "We apologize for the ongoing issues. All impacted players will receive compensation in the form of 60,000 crowns," which was then followed up by, "LOL, I lied. No refunds." And then I really like, so I guess they maybe got it under control. The actual King's Isle support put out a server message saying the person with rogue access has been dealt with and will be taken care of, which of course was promptly met with, "Fuck you, I still have it."
That one's my favorite.
That was great.
So this is it's interesting, right? Because like every once in a while you hear stories of like disgruntled employees. I don't think I've ever seen
upper
one.
Upper deckering toilets.
Yeah, you do an upper deckering the toilet like a normal adult, right? And then you walk out and you take your, right. That's what we all do. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I've ever seen them just going after the game itself.
Yeah.
Which is, because, you know, usually if you're a disgruntled employee, you go after the company, sure. But doing it publicly like that is, you know, it's big millennial energy, I think, right? I mean, this guy was not a boomer. Let's just say that.
Well, there's a hot rumor that this is actually a PR stunt to try and bring attention back to Wizard 101.
Dude, you know what? I saw that as well. And
yeah.
To be fair, so, if
it would work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Credit where credit's due. This is one big PR stunt just to, you know, get a little bit of free advertising for like a
dude deserves a raise, whoever came up with this.
He's asking for it.
It has me thinking too. Like, I'm wondering, like, who's playing this game? Is it still targeted towards like, you know, preteens and stuff like that? Or is it people that were playing it when I was in high school just kind of stuck with it?
So I just Googled King's Isle Games. So King's Isle Games. They were going through some rough times in around 2016. They laid off 72 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a year later, they leased a 19,000 square foot office space.
Oh.
And then in 2018, they made a game, a match three game. And they got two new people to join the team. And then last year, 2021, they were acquired by Media and Games Invest for $126 million.
Oh, so, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So whoever owned that studio is filmed, they're just fine.
Yeah. Okay.
17 not, years not this to was this founded.
Person, I mean, I had
not to this person.
No, not to this person.
So, how do you guys feel about this? What do you think of like a potentiality for a rogue employee gaining access to server messages and just I don't know trolling? Because he also did. There was one point where he was just quoting Breaking Bad, just throwing them up there for fun, right? Like, my name is Walter Hartnell White. This is not an admission of guilt. And some people, I guess, that didn't know about Breaking Bad thought it was actually the dude's name. So they started, like, emailing King's Owls, being like, yo, it's Walter White. You guys gotta, it's your employee, Walter White. He's gone rogue, man.
I mean, if this is a kid's game, they might not know too much about Breaking Bad, so.
But if this was an employee, they probably would have caught him, like, very soon.
Like, I wonder if they would feel bad if they found out he has cancer too.
Probably working from home, you know. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, if this is a PR stunt to get more eyes on the game, it absolutely worked.
Yeah.
Because like I haven't thought about this game in over a decade, and here we are talking about it now on the show, right? Like, yeah, like I know they have Wizards 101, they got Pirates 101 or something like that. Really, they have like a whole bunch of these, and they do have a few other games out there as well, but I think this has always been like their go-to.
You know what this game reminds me of? You know when you're driving around like a city and you see a bunch of like really small restaurants and you're like, who the fuck eats there?
Yeah.
Like how is this place open? That's what this game reminds me of.
Yeah.
Like how is this game still running?
It's absolutely wild because I found it like Habbo Hotel is still going on.
Having online sex.
Okay, hold on.
Let's be honest.
Never mind. Webkinz is still going on, right? Like,
there's, same reason there's, actually for that one too.
There's Webkinz 3D now. Adventure Quest. I don't know if you guys ever played Adventure Quest. That game all is still
that sounds like a fake game.
It sounds like honestly, one of those games, dude,
where you're watching TV and they're like, "Yeah, we're playing Adventure Quest."
Adventure Quest.
Yeah.
Adventure Quest made by Artix Entertainment. They have a whole bunch of games out. Adventure Quest, Dragon Fable, Mech Quest, Adventure Quest Worlds. Adventure Quest Worlds 3D, you know, just the basic stuff. But yeah, no, sounds there's like
they heard about EverQuest and they're like, we're just gonna copy that
Adventure
name.
Quest. Yeah, there we go. But dude, like, there's a whole bunch of games that have that are just they just keep going, you know, decades long. It's ridiculous. And Wizards 101 is another example of this. I guess you know. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I was gonna ask, do you guys sympathize with this disgruntled employee? Do you think what he did was funny? Do you think what he did was right? How we land in here?
I think what he did is funny.
I think it's funny. Yeah.
If it is an ex employee, I don't know. I don't know if it's if. Wait, hang on. If he was fired for some reason and he got into their servers, then it is what it is. But
yeah, it's illegal. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like he just.
If it is a disgruntled employee that's like still actively working for them and like is genuinely hiding his tracks well enough for them to not know who it is, I think that's great.
It's great, but also not great because then
yeah.
He's just going to fuck up the whole like ecosystem of the game probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is it too as well because like this happened like a week ago. I can't find a follow up to this. I don't know if they caught the dude or not. He could very well still be there.
He could be.
Yeah, maybe
or,
he like
this
I don't
is a
know,
hacker,
like, we don't
just
know.
Like not related at all to the company.
I know, yeah. Yeah. Who knows? It's just such a wild story, and I honestly like you know, sure. I were there probably a couple kids that saw a couple words they shouldn't have seen. Yeah, but you know what? Who cares? They're playing a game called Wizards 101. It's 20 years old. What are you gonna,
they're gonna learn eventually.
Yeah, they're gonna learn some things eventually. You can't be sitting on the Chesterfield your whole life, boys. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta pop off that nugget couch, you know?
You gotta break bad.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta. You better call Saul because I'm gonna break bad.
Yeah, fill your boots.
Yeah,
fill your boots, boys.
I learned a few things. One, Saul Goodman is just a pun for Saul Goodman, which is hilarious.
Oh shit! What?
You're just learning.
This. I never
I'm
knew that.
I'm today years old.
Never knew that.
You guys have not. But, have you not watched Better Call Saul?
No.
No,
oh, Mike. Pasquale,
I don't like
I know,
Breaking Bad
you.
Either.
But you couldn't figure that out from, like, Saul. Like, it's all good,
no,
man.
It's all good, man.
I don't, like I said, didn't think about it.
It was like Saul Goodman. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, lawyer. He's Jewish. Yeah, sounds right.
He's Irish.
You know, but, like, it sounds like a Saul. That's a very Jewish
Jimmy
name.
McGill.
Yeah.
Wow, it's spoilers. I didn't know that.
It's literally the character's name.
How would I know that? I told you I haven't watched it.
Slippin' Jimmy.
Slippin' Jimmy, yeah. There's an animated cartoon of him as a kid.
That's hilarious. What I was going to ask is, speaking of games that existed when we were children, do you guys remember America's Army?
No.
Which was a game made literally by the American military to get people to join the American Army.
That sounds like a super late 90s thing.
That's called Call of Duty.
Yeah, it was post 9/11, but yeah.
The only way they can make that more American is if they gave it out like as a Burger King toy.
They might have. I didn't go to America then, so I'm not sure. And then have you ever guys played the game Guns with a Z?
No.
I've heard of it. No.
I used to play the fuck out of that game when I was a kid.
Did it make you want to join the army?
No, it was like an anime game. It was from like South Korea. And you play like these anime characters that you can customize, and it was a third person action online shooter. It was actually like a ton of fun. It had no right to be as good as it was. But it's, yeah, I was just looking up to see if it still exists. It does not still exist. I was very disappointed. I was hoping it would have some kind of online presence, but it does not.
Well, there you go, boys. Officially in our games ranking list, Wizards 101 is better than Guns.
Apparently.
All right. Well, boom stinger. So a while back, so a lot has happened this last week, okay? Mm-hmm. We can't catch up on everything, so we're just gonna go to the important stuff. Grand Theft Auto 6 leaked.
Yeah,
that's shit. That's just a thing that happened. It's been confirmed real. It's one of the biggest leaks in all of gaming history. Okay. Yeah. It happened. Great. Rockstar Games is absolutely devastated as the source code and this footage is circulating. So let's recap.
Understandable.
The recent Grand Theft Auto 6 leak is 100% real. Rockstar's game is not happy at all. A hacker has infiltrated Rockstar's game's internal servers. It's probably the same dude from Wizards 101. And stole...
Honestly?
3 gigabytes worth of early Grand Theft Auto 6 footage, which is like 2 textures, honestly. Whatever. This is including footage, photos, and source code from the game itself.
There's no way there's source code.
Well, apparently there is.
Yeah.
They would have to start the whole game over again, dude.
Wow. Well, it happened with CG. What's that company called? Oh, the one that did the
CD Projekt Red. Yeah, they can't use the engine anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't. I mean, this is going to be a developing story, right? There's going to be more to this going on, right? But the hacker in question, who has also claimed credit for the damaging Uber hack from a while back, published the confidential data publicly. And the leaks have been widely circulated in the last 11 hours, delivering a crushing blow to developers at Rockstar. At the time of writing of this article that I'm reading, there were reports that source code for Grand Theft Auto 6 has been released alongside 90 videos of pre-alpha Grand Theft Auto footage. So it's everything's out there.
Yeah.
So we do have a couple quotes from Rockstar Games. They have confirmed that the leaks are authentic. They do say not that there was much doubt, but I've confirmed with Rockstar sources that this weekend's massive Grand Theft Auto leaks are indeed real. The footage is early and unfinished. Of course, this is one of the biggest leaks in video game history and an absolute nightmare for Rockstar Games. The hacker who goes by the name of Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So we have the hacker. He goes by the name of Teapot Uber Hacker. That must suck. Can you imagine like working your whole life on a video game and some fucker called the Teapot Uber Hacker just comes and ruins your life? They said that they've acquired even more stolen data, including closely guarded source code of Grand Theft Auto 5. The top secret data is one of the most valuable assets that any game studio could have in their possession.
So I heard a rumor that this hacker actually got access to all this stuff through Slack.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. So one of the rumors right now is that he was able to infiltrate Rockstar's Slack channel or whatever you want to call it, like their Slack group or whatever. And he was able to find his way in and worm his way into their stuff through their Slack.
Yeah.
It just seems so unlikely to me that they'd be able to get... If Rockstar believed this dude had the source code, I feel like they would like murder him in his sleep.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal.
Because like, it would totally ruin the security of Grand Theft Auto 5 if they had the source code. Like, it'd be over for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is their moneymaker.
Yeah, exactly.
It has been for years, right? Like, it's... Grand Theft Auto 6 isn't coming out anytime soon, so like, you know, we're not done with GTA 5. If this dude really does have the source code, that's a problem. That's like a genuine issue. Like it destroys the game.
Mm-hmm. They this footage is from 2019, right? I think they said.
So there's the Grand Theft Auto 6 leak, which is legit, and then apparently there's also the Grand Theft Auto 5 source code that he was able to grab.
No, yeah, I know, but the footage, like the development footage is from 2019.
The pre-alpha
footage is from 2019. It's not like from like yesterday.
Well, that's the thing is, you got a lot of people that were commenting on like Twitter and stuff like that, being like, oh, I can't believe this is what it looks like. This is garbage.
It's so dumb.
It's like when you build a house, you don't go like, hey, do you want to see my house is half done. Do you want to see it? And you don't go to someone's house and you see like half a furnished house just sitting there.
You like, see my frame of my house?
It's a frame. Like, it's framework. That's like, literally...
This is shit.
I'm glad...
code on the screen, like...
I'm glad you guys brought that up, because we're going to be getting into exactly that in a little bit here. So there's a lot going on social media right now regarding all this. A lot of different developers are stepping up and saying things like, you know, Encouraging consumers, gamers, and reporters not to directly interact with this leak. Don't look at it. Don't mess around with it. Just like the best thing you could do is to ignore it. Including Cyberpunk 2077 developer Pawel Sosko, who says on Twitter, absolutely dreading to think what the Rockstar team is going through right now. Years of work are now being shredded, torn apart, and analyzed. Misunderstood, taken out of context, and worst of all, memed. A destructive cycle game industry knows way too well. Mm-hmm. Help to make it better and don't engage with the leaks. We even got Naughty Dog's Neil Druckmann, who faced big story leaks of The Last of Us Part 2. He's chiming in on Twitter as well, saying, to my fellow devs out there affected by the latest leak, know that while it feels overwhelming right now, it'll pass. One day we'll be playing your game, appreciating your crafts, and the leaks will be relegated to a footnote on a Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. Keep pushing and keep making art. So we're starting to see like a lot of different developers actually offering support to Naughty Dog, or no, I'm sorry, to Rockstar Games. And it's building like this weird, wholesome gaming community right now on social media, which is something that we don't see because usually it's just toxic. Ass cancer. Yeah, toxic it's is a better word.
Ass cancer.
So
I think I like ass cancer.
Yeah.
I like Chris. I like how you brought up the whole visuals of the game because there was one specific tweet by an individual who is an idiot.
Yeah.
That is shredding apart Grand Theft Auto 6, saying that, and I quote, the things that he said directly, because again, this man is brain dead is the nice
smooth
way
brain.
Of putting it.
Smooth yeah. brain.
Yeah, smooth brain. You know, he says graphics are the first thing finished in a video game. This is a fact. The fact that Grand Theft Auto 6 looks like this is an affront to gamers everywhere. Before we get into the support, I want to say my favorite comment in this tweet was somebody, I don't even know who it was, but he's a hero. He said, I've never seen a man say something so wrong with so much conviction.
I mean, maybe graphics were the first thing done on a game back in this, like the 16-bit era or something like that.
Because it was no graphics.
The first thing done on the game is story and voice.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, I mean, it's interesting too, because us as consumers, we don't really see like the guts, right? We don't see how the sausage is made when it comes to games. We always, Pasquale, don't laugh at the word talk. Like you're a 30-year-old man.
Shut up.
You know, you pay taxes, you have pubic hair, you do all these things, and you're laughing at the word sausage. Anyway, so they're stuffing the sausage, right? We don't see them stuff the sausage. We only see the finished product, right? We don't see like all this gross shit, and for the most part, we're not supposed to, because that's not sexy. It's not marketable, right? You can't show off that stuff and be like, oh, okay, give us $75 now. But what we're seeing now is a whole bunch of developers, like big AAA developers, indie developers, coming out being like, hey, this is what our game looked like when we were making it. Like, they all look like shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So on Twitter right now, you could find graphics are the first things finished in a video game. Lol. Here's a Thunderjaw from the early build of Horizon Zero Dawn. And it's a screenshot of like a Lego blocks. Monstrosity. Yeah, just horrible monsters.
Like, people don't realize that it's like placeholders until like the day before it releases.
You know, I was going to say, I saw one dev that was like, for the most part, they play with graphics turned like a -1 so that they can render and like make things work better and faster.
Yeah, we have a indie game of the year contender, Cult of the Lamb, chiming in as well, showing what their game looked like before they finalized on the art direction and stuff like that. A completely different game with very flat graphics. It's just like ridiculous, but I really like seeing like all these developers going on social media and showing stuff. Like, even God of War, we see like just a high res rendering of Kratos running around what looks like a 64-bit basketball court. And it's like the most jarring stuff, and it's just so great. And everyone's like, no, it's like even the guys from Control, a game that won many awards for its graphic fidelity, is like, yo, our game looked like shit. It's making it like this is just how it is,
right? If you follow the right people on LinkedIn, you'll see that stuff more frequently.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it if you're interested in stuff like that.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is anyone who's a purveyor of the of gaming culture and like gaming news or whatever, I guess anyone who is would be wouldn't believe what this person is saying on Twitter. They would know better. But like, you know, when they when you leak old footage, like remember when the Star Wars 1313 footage came out and you're like,
yeah,
this could have been cool, but it kind of looks a little bit like doo-doo because it's not a finished game. It's like it's at 2% of a game. So like, what did you expect to happen?
So I want to have a conversation here about, it's something that we've all heard, I'm sure, but it's like, oh, these, the graphics are bad. Right. And it's something that I think it's a very personal opinion, right? Everyone has their own likes and dislikes when it comes to stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, someone's like, I personally disagree with the people that are like, you know, they load up the NES and they play Mario 2 and they're like, oh, these graphics are bad. I'm like, well, I mean, they're graphics of the time and they, you know, they took advantage of the, you know, advantage of the hardware that they were on. I wouldn't say they're bad graphics. It's just that there exists better graphics today, right? And they're like, no, it's bad.
Like, well, the other thing too, like you look at a game that was made for a CRT TV where the pixels are rounded and softer versus like an HD TV where everything's crisp and sharp, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't translate like the way that it was intended to.
But also it's an art style.
That is what people get confused about the most. That they think
like Borderlands doesn't look as good as Last of Us Part Two, but it's an art style.
Yeah. There's difference in the art style. The games have their own visual identity. And there are people that are like, I don't like this visual identity, therefore the graphics are bad. It's like, well, that's fine. You could say that, but you're brain dead and stupid, and I hate you, right? Like that's just what it comes down to. And I don't know, man. Like, I am one of those people where I play a lot of indie games, but right now I'm playing Splatoon 3, which is like graphically just the feast because, like, my sweet God, if I was playing Adderall while I was playing that game, I would be a monster. Like, it's just so well done and so stylistic and so beautiful. But if you compare that to The Last of Us Part 1 Remastered, you're going to be like, oh, this game is, how old is this game? Like 20 years? You know, like, it just doesn't, you can't compare things like that.
The other thing too is like a good game doesn't depend on graphics.
Yeah, people are so obsessed nowadays with just like the visuals of stuff where they don't look at the functionality of everything.
It should be
functional before it's visually appealing.
I agree with that, and honestly, I think that's actually hurting the industry.
Yeah,
because people are like, I'm willing to spend a lot of money on a game that looks nice, even if the game is shit.
Yeah,
well, look at me. People are like, oh, this game doesn't. Yeah. This game doesn't run at 120 hertz. Yeah.
Like,
well, that's almost
at a
more
frame
important.
Rate that my TV can't even handle. How dare?
That's more important than graphics, right? Like a frame rate. Depending on the game, affects the gameplay. But
I'm talking about like basics, like gameplay, story, like that's like the meat of the game.
I don't know, man. Once you get used to playing 60 frames, it kind of is hard to go back. But like, that's different. I think like it's the 8K, 4K crowd that I'm like, yo, like you can't even your HDMI cable can't even push 4K out. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Like a lot of TVs, like. A lot of big flat screen TVs only push about 40 hertz or 60. And then you got people are like, well, it's not pushing 160. Like, your monitor doesn't even run 160. What are you complaining about?
Yeah. I think it's like, well, I mean, also people like to complain about whatever they can.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're like, if I complain about this thing, it makes people think that I know what I'm talking about.
It makes my own worries go away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. No one's going to notice my small penis if I
remember when people were complaining that in Halo Infinite, you couldn't shoot and blow up fruit, but in Call of Duty, you could. And it's like, why the fuck are you saying I'm shooting fruit, dude?
No wonder you're so shit at the game. Everybody's like, killing you while you're shooting fruit.
Like, play the game, dude.
I always, stuff like that is fun too. Like where people are comparing like two games somewhat similar to like the most mundane shit. It's like, I don't know. It's just my favorite is like I could shoot the windows in this game, but not in this game. It's like, who gives a shit? It's like, unless the game is Window Shooter 4000, who fucking cares if you could shoot the windows or not?
Yeah,
you know, it's just people. Gameplay. Yeah, it's like, are you enjoying shooting the windows? If that's an activity you like, then sure, go have fun. Do whatever you want.
I think us as gamers, because of our age bracket, as like the four of us. And it's just because, like, we come from when graphics came from a 2D. Yeah, like, we came from a 2D sprite.
Yeah.
From 8-bit to 16-bit to being able to run polygons in 64-bit.
Yeah.
And now we're able to see, like, fully rendered cutscenes that look almost lifelike. That we can kind of, like, differentiate, like, yeah, like, this might not be the most realistic looking, but, like, it looks cool. Because, let's be honest, we all four of us have played GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I'm sure you guys all had the same kind of reaction, like, when I did, being, like, 7 or 8 and being, like, wow, this is as good as it's getting.
Like, this I was like, yo, that's Pierce Brosnan.
That is Pierce Brosnan. I am looking at James Bond on my screen. He looks so realistic. Yeah. And to look at it now and be like, that is a JPEG pasted on top of some square.
I mean, it's hard to go back to that, though.
Yeah, no. We're very lucky because I think, like, genuinely every single year of my life since I've been playing video games, I've said to myself, holy shit, this game looks amazing.
Yeah.
I think, and I, like, I still get it.
I remember specifically the PS3 days being the most of that because it was such a jump.
Yeah.
The jump from PS2 to PS3. Yeah,
and you're just like, holy shit, this is the best thing I'll ever see. There's no way they get better than this.
Oh, look at the SmackDown versus Raw footage. That's a real fucking wrestling. Uncharted, you see that dude's pants? That still actually is quite impressive. When he gets out of the water and his pants are still wet.
Wow. That's cool, yeah.
Even I still remember playing BioShock when it first came out. The water
effects?
The water was so breathtaking, and that was like,
it still is, actually, to be honest.
Like, this is graphically, like, as good as it's ever gonna get.
The water effects in that game are still beautiful. That's still true. But yeah, it's wild.
I mean, I don't think I have to tell all of you, you know, one of the most significant graphical upgrades in the history of video games. I'm sure we're all aware of the upgrade from the original Flash Binding of Isaac to Binding of Isaac Rebirth. That was just
it was mind-blowing.
It really does show what the industry is capable of when they want to perform.
Yeah, of course.
To this day, it's wild. But no, I don't know, man. I still have, like, old habits as being, like, an older gamer where, like, things were, like, flat and ugly, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, cool. Like, any game with a mirror, I check to see if there's a reflection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, just to see. Right, it's old habits that are, you know, they just don't go away.
It's also just so hard to do that. Like,
it's very hard.
If you're in a shooter game and you have, like, a gun with a scope and you see if the world reflects behind you through the lens of the scope.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and, you know, there's always a lot of debate around, like, video games being, it's like, I want it to be realistic. I'm like, I don't think I want a realistic game. It's like, then I'll just go outside and touch grass. I don't want to do that, which is why I'm playing these games, you know? Like, I'm okay with there being a certain level of detachment from realism in my video game.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of over the hyper-realistic. Like, there was a time where that was kind of, like, the thing to have. I'm kind of over that. Like, I want... That's why when you keep talking about Splatoon 3, I'm like, damn, that just sounds like a creative feast of, like, cool ideas.
It's a lot of splooning. Yeah.
Yeah. even like Sea of Thieves or like, you know, like, just Pokemon. Games that are more, like, artistically creative. PlayStation, like, I don't know, nothing. They only make third person games that are really realistic. So never mind.
I get it, man.
Lately, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're all kind of on the same page with this, right? Like, to bring it back to the news here that we're talking about, like, I feel bad for Rockstar. It sucks. This is definitely going to be something that we're going to be keeping an eye on, because, like, if source code was actually taken,
that's crazy.
And this guy, you know, the teapot Uber hacker, whatever the hell his name is, if he decides to actually leak the source code officially, That could mean some big things for the future of Grand Theft Auto, and you know, maybe even lead them to having to restart work on Grand Theft Auto 6, which has been in development for
That
at minimum suck. 4 years at this point.
15 years.
15 years, yeah. Minimum 4 years.
Yeah.
We have learned some cool things about it though. There's like a Bonnie and Clyde element to the main characters.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the main characters is a big booty Latina woman.
Yeah, this is the first time we've had a female protagonist in the Grand Theft Auto series since Grand Theft Auto 2 on the Game Boy Color.
It's pretty cool. Like, I kind of think, I've heard other people talking about this too, and I think it's kind of cool. Like, she's like a realistic looking person, like, proportionally. Like, she's not just like, you know, a brick shit house of jackness, and she's not Lara Croft. She's just like a person, you know?
No, it's just like an actual person, yeah.
Yeah, which is cool.
I think that, I think that's the way they had to go. Otherwise, it would have just been more controversy.
Yeah, could you imagine if they went like a
Megan Thee Stallion, right? Like old L three to twerk, yeah. And then it's just like, okay, we'll get but the She-Hulk.
In fairness, DLC none of their characters are ever really like the guy who got a five had Trevor, which was like, oh my god!
Look, Michael was an old
Italian guy.
I'm not afraid to say it. There has not been a single attractive GTA protagonist.
Hold on. Trevor was actually modeled after the real actor, so like...
Yeah, Stephen Ogg.
Yeah, Stephen Ogg.
Who's Canadian, by the way.
He's an ugly man.
All right.
That's totally fair. Respect for him. Hasn't been a single attractive GTA protagonist.
I mean, would they be attractive if they're, like, getting shot at constantly and always with drugs?
Well, they're not getting shot. They're getting shot at. It's different.
Yeah. You could be shot out and be perfectly fine.
I mean, Stephen Ogg is like, you recognize Stephen Ogg.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, well, it's not Stephen Ogg, you know who Stephen Ogg is.
He's not, I wouldn't say he's ugly. I just think they made him look ugly in costume. Like,
to be fair, I'm pretty sure in universe he like eats garbage, right? So, I mean, like, you know.
He's lots of things. He's a meth head, you know, so.
Anyway, so that's the leak from Grand Theft Auto 6. Don't look it up if you care about games.
That's right. You're committing the fraud.
You're committing fraud, piracy, and you were the problem with gaming if you look it up. So don't do it. Don't do it.
I kind of want to...
The game that promoted stealing and heist gets robbed. So
I want to pose an ethical question. Like, how do we feel about leaks? Like, for
There's two kinds of leaks, right? There's the oops, who did this? Oh no, what happened? Leaks, right? And then there's the like actual malintent leak, right?
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely like if you're a dude who has the capabilities to get into and steal proprietary information, that's a crime and it's illegal. So don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Alleged. However, if it's like a quote-unquote leak, like the original Mario plus Rabbids, where Ubisoft just leaked it to see like how people would react to it, that's fine. I'm okay with it. It's weird, too, because like leaks in the sense of like here's news that was going to be revealed in 3 hours is different from leaks of like here's the source code to this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I think,
years away from release.
I think my line is like, if the leak is like this is going to exist and we didn't know that it was going to exist before, that's fine, who cares, like whatever, like there's a new Bioshock game, that's exciting, that's cool. But leaks as like this where it's like here's footage of content that was never supposed to be shown when the game hasn't even been released yet,
there's textures, sound effects, you know, screenshots, videos, right, here's everything, right, like that's huge, right? Like I don't consider news spoilers. Like if you're like, hey, they're making a new God of War game, I'm like, all right, cool. And some people are like, oh, that's a spoiler, I didn't see the announcement. It's not a spoiler. But if it's like, oh, here's a new God of War game, it's Kratos, he like, you know, I don't know, he goes to Egypt,
ate his child with a
he eats his child, he goes to Egypt, he like, you know, punches Ra in the face. I'm like, oh dude, spoiler. I have a problem with
it becomes Moon Knight. It's a crossover.
Yeah, it's actually it's all part of the MCU.
Yeah, that's right. And he's played by The Rock.
Didn't
he's
played
by The Rock. Oh, yeah. 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 I don't know, man. I'm fine with leaks that are not harmful to the company, but I'm not okay with leaks that are like, here's everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think all leagues are technically crime because you have to like hack someone to get it. But
I guess.
Oh, you could just like talk to your dad who works at Nintendo. It's like, hey, when's the new Mario Kart? And he's like, oh, we're not doing one because you idiots keep paying for DLC.
Patrick, are you okay? Hey, send some trauma there.
No, I'm not okay. Stop. They're doing is putting resources into Mario Kart Tour.
It's only been 23 years, right? Give them another 10.
The game's been going on for 3 years, goddammit. Oh, okay. Anyway, so Stefano, you like piracy? Is that what you're saying? What?
I do, yep. Allegedly.
All right, cool. All right, boom stinger. All right, let's move on from the illegal stuff and talk about the depressing stuff. If you weren't aware, Saints Row got a reboot. And it sucked. It was really bad. Yeah, it came out and it crashed and burned brighter and harder than the Hindenburg, dude.
So I actually went to Walmart today. I did some grocery shopping and I checked out the video game section and Saints Row is currently at like $40 right now. Brand new game. $40. It's wild.
So let's get into this a little bit. So Embracer CEO and local millionaire Lars Windfors has expressed...
Local millionaire.
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember this dude's a millionaire, so like, I don't really care that he's disappointed. He's expressed his disappointment in the reception of Saints Row, though he is confident that the game will make money regardless. So this is why I don't care about him. He described Saints Row as one of the harder of Embracer's franchise to get a high return on investment. I don't even know this dude's name. Winge 4 has admitted that Saints Row has ended up with a polarized view from fans, though he added that the publisher will need to wait until the quarterly report in November in order to have a more concrete metrics regarding the game's reception. Despite the concern, he was happy to see that there is also a lot of players who received the game positively. So this game here, it's a weird situation, right? Saints Row started as a parody of Grand Theft Auto. And then
started
they
off
just
as a clone and
yeah, it was a copy, right?
Yeah, it was more like just like a Grand Theft Auto like game that just kind of leaned into the absurdity of it until the point where you get like Saints Row the Third, where you're like in a simulation in a robot trying to like find the president of the United States, right? Like it's just like wild shit happens. And I think the problem with that is that like they kept taking the sequels in the franchise like to the most extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like, okay, what do we do with this franchise? Because like we went to hell, and like how do we go from there?
Yeah.
So they rebooted the first game, but they didn't they rebooted the game without remaking it.
Right.
It's Saints Row in name, but not Saints Row in anything else. None of the characters are there. Like the art direction doesn't fit with the world. It looks weird. Yeah. It looks generic, right? And
the writing doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's kind of, it doesn't know what it wants to be. All it is something that they had to put out, I guess, you know, because they had a slot to fill.
It sounds like to me it was a bunch of people who think they know what Gen Z talks like and acts like and wants to hear, but don't actually. Like a bunch of Gen Xers and late millennials were like, this is definitely what the young generation wants to hear, right? Like, let's do this.
But one,
how do you do, fellow kids?
And one then, comment, like, nope. One comment on Reddit was like, the translation is, hey, we need to release a AAA game based off of nostalgia, but with minimal effort. So we kind of got caught.
That's your fault. That's exactly what this is, right? It's like, let's, you know, Saints Row hasn't really had much in terms of content released in the last couple years, right? And there is a fan base for this game because, it's one of those weird, quirky, ooh-woo games that a lot of people like to play. I mean, you could swing around a giant dildo, for God's sake.
The frustrating part is that go ahead Chris, sorry.
I was just gonna say like the absurdity of the series as it progressed, you literally had a gun that was powered by the power of dubstep.
Yeah,
the dubstep gun. Yeah,
and then
it was a great one.
And then there was a mod to it that you could like use it and it would play nothing but metal. So
it was so good. Yeah.
I think that's when it jumped the shark. Saints Row 2 was actually like a good game.
To be fair, the game with the dubstep gun does take place in an alien simulation. So, like, it makes sense, right?
It took the shark and beat it to death.
Honestly,
just jump it.
I have a theory that if you were to describe game or guns from Saints Row and guns from Ratchet and Clank, you wouldn't be able to tell which is which.
Yeah, the crossover is pretty much identical.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's like, this gun shoots hedges. Which game is that from?
Ratchet and Clank.
It is Ratchet and Clank. Good job. Yeah, there you go. Okay, okay. Well, maybe it's easier than I thought. But yeah,
I just played Ratchet and Clank, so.
Oh, did you? Okay, well, there you go. You didn't talk about it on the show. I wasn't aware of this.
We did the show, remember? It was called Robot Slippers. We had footage for it.
We need to discuss this after the meeting, I think.
Oh, no.
You're withholding company property.
Post-game show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get a post-opening scene.
They just had an opportunity to, like, really fill a void in gaming, because, like, there used to be so many Grand Theft Auto clones. There's, like, The Getaway and Saints Row.
And they all took
and...
themselves relatively seriously as well. I think that was, like, the thing that sold Saints Row, where they're like, this is just a stupid game.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's
just
a game.
Just have fun with it,
And then, they're like, and now there's nothing like that besides GTA, and they're like, hike the ball, and they fucking fumbled the pass and threw it into their own end zone.
Wild too, but I would make the argument that Grand Theft Auto 5 is closer to Saints Row than this Saints Row.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, it's existed for so long, it's starting to become its own, like, parody at this point. Which I guess is gonna happen, because flanderization is a hell of a thing, right? But at the same time, I mean, like, I don't really understand what the issue is with this. Like, if they really wanted to remake Saints Row, just remake it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're at the point of the industry where, like, there's a lot of games that have been around for a while. Like, you know, sure, you're gonna get, like, a couple people on Twitter being like, oh, you're remaking old games. Like, who cares? You're gonna get that for everything. Like, but at least the people that want to play that game and the fans of it will enjoy it.
Just make it good, at least.
Yeah, and
that's the thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So Volition is the company that made it, right?
Yeah, Volition, which is owned by Embracer Group.
Which it was published by Deep Silver. Volition has not, like, what games have they released recently? Let's see.
Oh, there was that game that tanked hard.
Agents of Mayhem.
That's the one.
Yeah, Agents of Mayhem, I think, almost destroyed them.
Yeah.
Because that came out, that was their follow-up to Saints Row, because I guess they were done with Saints Row. They didn't want to make any more. They had no idea, so they just let the franchise sit for a bit.
That
they came
Agents
out with
of,
Agents of Mayhem.
The Agents of Mayhem was, like, based off of the stuff that happened in Saints Row 4, right? Where, like, they were in, like, the super suits and stuff like that.
I think it was connected, but I don't remember. But I also know Agents of Mayhem was, like, it was, like, a competitive game. It wasn't, like, a story game.
Yeah.
It was like a
weird
Fortnite
thing.
Yeah. It was one of them Fortnites that all the kids are playing. But yeah, I don't know what the future of Saints Row is, but I think hopefully nothing. Yeah, the thing that bothers me with this is that, like, it's just, there was, like, no effort made.
Yeah.
It was zero effort, and they basically just, like, used the name of a franchise to get a couple sympathy purchases, and I'm glad that it didn't work out for them, but I'm also sad to see that for them to learn that lesson, they had to basically kill a franchise to do it.
Yeah,
and that sucks, dude.
Sometimes stuff has to die before other stuff can live.
That's true. Sometimes franchises need to be
just killed off.
Cold,
like
really.
Duke Nukem.
Yeah. You got to pull a Duke Nukem every once in a while. Duke Nukem died so that Call of Duty could run. That's all.
I'm saying. Take a Nukem.
Yeah, take a Nuke. All right. Well, I do apologize formally to local millionaire Lars Winchford. Unfortunately, that this video game is not going to perform up to standard. But you're a millionaire, so I don't really care long. That's true. Yeah, he'll die.
See
you at McDonald's. Die, right? That's it. Yeah, that's
we
Wendy's actually. Yeah.
Oh, Wendy's good. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, that wraps it up for news. Let's move on to our tradition. We're going to end the show with a little game of What's That Game? If you're new to the show, What's That Game is a segment where one of us describes the video game poorly and the rest of us are giving a total of 10 yes or no questions in order to identify the identity of this unidentified game. Last week, Chris, you were the champion of What's That Game, which means, sir, you hold the honor of hosting this week's version of What's That Game.
You got it.
Whenever you're ready, give us your game described poorly.
Okay. Your game described poorly this week is if this isn't a father-son bonding experience, then I don't know what is.
Okay. This isn't a father-son bonding experience, and I don't know what is. Perfect. All right, so I'll, do you guys have any questions you want to ask early?
No, you can start if you want.
All right. Chris, is this game based off of an existing IP?
This is based off an existing IP.
Sweet.
Is this a first party game?
First party in it as like the person that hosts the console that it is on. Do you mean?
Yeah, so yeah, first party would be like, yeah, the publisher of the and owner of the game is.
Then no.
Okay.
So it's based off of an existing IP, but is not a first party game.
Correct.
Did this game come out in the last 30 years?
That's a huge
hang
gap.
Hang on, I gotta pull up my calculator right now.
1992.
Are you as yes. old as Squally?
This game has come out in the last 30 years.
In the
years.
Last
okay.
30 years, yes.
All right, so that means it's not some weird, like, arcade machine that was released in a Korean, like, gas station.
Yes,
so we're good.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So they're at minimum 30 years old.
At least, yes.
Okay.
It's not a first party game.
It's not a first party game. It's an existing IP.
Mm-hmm. Is this game platform exclusive?
Yes, this game is platform exclusive.
I thought so, because when you asked, like, what is first party, and I'm like, this feels like it might not, like, it's published on the console, but no.
Oh, man. We could ask one more, and then we could guess. That was question number 4, right?
Yes. That's correct.
Chris, does this game feature anthropomorphized animals?
Yes.
I have a guess.
Okay.
Is this game Goof Troop?
Pat, you have nailed this one.
Nice.
On the head.
Shit.
Nice.
There we go, boys. Okay. Feeling good about that.
That was really good. You got that in 5.
Huh. That's wow. Goof Troop, baby.
Yeah. I actually had a couple different ones, but like this one I thought like might stump you guys, but like I'm actually shocked that you got this one.
Oh, dude, come on. It's a classic Disney game.
It's a great Disney game, by the
That's
way.
That's why I specified 30 years, because I had a hunch and I'm like, that game came out in like 1993.
It did come out in 1993. It's actually I know. 29 years old. So.
I know.
Hence the math.
That's why I was like, I need to do the math on this one. Hang on.
There we go. Yeah, cool, awesome. Well, that was a good one. I enjoyed that one a great deal.
Congrats!
Which means I'll be able to host the What's That Game for next episode, and I claimed a Fable point that will probably be tallied up by Alice at some point, so we could see how we're doing this round.
There we go.
Well, sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to cut that short, but
that's okay.
You know, the adrenaline's gone.
Great guess.
There you go.
Steph, have you or I won at all this season?
Yes.
Shit.
No, me, not you. Okay. You cheated to win.
Well, you generally, you have to play video games.
I don't play these old ass obscure games.
What do you mean? It's not even 30 years old, dude.
I don't ever pick old games.
I was only 1 year old when that game came out. 2 years
this
old.
This is a Capcom like slapper, dude.
It's a banger, dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have beaten this game personally. Like, this game is fun.
It's a fun game. It's also like more difficult than you would think it is.
Yeah,
all the old games were
surprisingly. Yeah, that's true.
That's how they made them longer.
That's true. You gotta, you know, buff it up a little bit. But hey, if you like this episode of the Let's Get Gaming podcast, be sure to leave us a review on Apple iTunes. You can listen to this podcast anywhere video game podcasts can be listened to, including but not limited to Spotify.
Your mom's house.
Okay, well hold on. I was pausing for dramatic effect. Spotify.
Your dad's house.
Okay. Anchor FM.
Anchor.
Oh, you done?
Probably not.
Google Music.
Hey, Google.
Amazon. And Stitcher FM. We are on Stitcher FM.
Oh, are we now?
Yeah, confirmed. Yeah,
oh, officially. Finally.
Yeah, there we go. We've been on there for months.
Did you get an email from them? Stop saying that. We're on there.
Genuinely, like, been months. Like, I think we were on Stitcher before we were on Spotify.
Oh, my God.
So by months, I mean years. Anyway, hey, and we'll see you next time on the Lesky Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Patrick Dennehy, but I was not alone. Joined with me this week, Chris Montpetit.
Hey, thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook if you can. Yeah. Podcast.
Beautiful. Check us out on Facebook, baby. Stefano Fontana.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Pasquale Galuzzo.
Fill your boots.
We'll see you next week, boys. That's right. We'll go down to the Timmy's, get a double double. Let's go.
Yeah.
Heck yeah,
go for
bud.
A rip, bud.
Hell yeah, go bud. Going out for a rip, don't you know?
Oh, yeah, bud.
Oh,
smoke
yeah.
Some darts.
Whoa, okay, hold on.
Whoa. Smoke some darts and get ourselves a 2-4, bud.
Jesus.
All right, bye.
Deuces.
Chesterfield.
Chesterfield.